Is 5:31. We're here, October 8th, Wednesday, October 8th, 2025. We were in City Hall Room 244, and I call the order of the meeting of the Historic and Cultural Advisory Board. Roll call.
William Stearns.
Present.
Monica Beckett, here.
Chris Sterner, Vice Chair, here. Meeting, missing is Harry Klinkheimer, the chair. Okay, would we all rise and pledge the flag, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I don't see any public. I will assume there is no public comment. Unless anyone sent one in. I know you can send them in, right?
Not for advisory board. You can for commission.
But oh, okay.
We haven't received any public comments, sir.
I'm glad to hear that you can't send them in for. Thank you. Okay, moving right along. Has everyone read the minutes of the last meeting?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I didn't know if it, at the end of the meeting last week, we had a member resign, and it's not mentioned here.
I'm not sure.
Does it need to be mentioned in here?
So that's what I'm not sure.
Yeah, we don't denote that in the minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the minutes from last month's meeting.
I second it.
All in favor, I guess.
Aye.
Aye.
So approved. Okay, new business. Item 25-2848, discussion possible action regarding development of a formal city policy and ordinance for designating historic sites within the city of Northport. Board will outline a process for research, review best practices from nearby municipalities, such as Sarasota, and delegate tasks to individual members for the policy's initial drafting. This action is a continuation of previous board discussions on the significance of validation of historic sites within the city. I believe we really went through that kind of the last time because everyone was assigned, everyone came back with comments, and I think what we decided is somebody was going to write up a draft of pretty much what we all agreed to, and until we get the copies, you won't know what I put in there. But I think, can we put a hold on the meeting until we can get those documents?
Yeah, if you want to take like a recess.
Okay.
If you want to take a recess, I can put the meeting.
Yes, we could do that.
Okay,
I hand it over to you. We're taking a recess.
25-282849?
The previous one.
Oh, previous one. So 25-2848, regarding the development of a formal city policy and ordinance for designating historic sites within the city of Northport. So we have here then, I believe, a draft that Mr. Scherner has put together. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And would you care to provide some discussion, presentation regarding your draft?
Yes. Let me go through and give the red line items that I revised within this section 4191. The membership, right after that, it says from item C in the draft 2014 ULDC. That was something that was originally in that draft of the ULDC, originally proposed, and they did away with it. So that's in red. Item A under there, where it says members of the historic, I crossed out preservation because our title is not preservation, it is the Historic and Cultural Advisory Board. Go down to item C, and everything in item C is something I put in there, essentially taken from the draft ULDC. And I also put a note at the bottom of the page justifying why I think this would be a good thing. I know a legalese may look at this fast and say, oh, wait, we can't do that because you're mandating it. I don't mandate it. I said it would be nice if we had one of these people.
Yeah, this took out quite a few other.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I took out a bunch of people who were like real estate agents and stuff like that. I did not see a need for that.
Right.
Okay, because I know the county has a lot of those things in, because when you belong to the Historic Preservation Board, you have to have lawyers, you have to have real estate people, you have to have all of these various types of people to be on that board. Right. And for various reasons, obviously. We don't have that magnitude of historic sites, so I didn't see it necessary there. And you can agree or disagree with me.
No, it
doesn't matter to me.
I crossed out a number of those positions too in my draft, so
right.
I thought it was not right. Necessary.
Most of what I'm looking at is the archaeological, the anthropological, right. And the historic aspect of what we have in this city. And essentially, that's what we have in this city.
I like that.
That's
a good job.
Someone could argue that because we want maybe eventually to designate the original site of where the first houses were, you may want to have a real estate or architect, for that matter, look at that kind of thing.
As a consultant or as a member of the board? So
well, as a member.
Here or there, yeah.
As a member of the board,
yeah.
Right. Although I do have architect there, so I covered myself. Okay, so, and that's where we are. As I said, the justification for obviously having one of these people is that rationale at the bottom. Which very likely if the person has been through this and has a degree in anthropology, archaeology, yada, 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 they will very likely qualify for 36 CFR 61. I do. So, and anyway, that was the first page. Anybody have any questions on that first page? I guess what you've got, everything that's in red is very light. Right.
Yes.
Okay. So you can pretty much tell
what you did.
What I've changed. I did some. I graded papers for English when I taught. It's like I get carried away. Anyway, the Historic and Cultural Advisory Board title on the second page under 4-192. I just capitalized all the stuff that was supposed to be. And normally, when you write a document like this, you give the acronym for it, which HCAB would be our acronym.
Right.
Going down to the bottom, I stopped numbering because if you look at the municipal code, it went only up to 192, 193 said future. Well, I wasn't about to start numbering this thing for anybody, okay? So I had just left in section 4, because that's where this exists. And it put a question mark there. Ultimately, we can figure out if we want to number those, or somebody's going to have to figure it out. I think it's the legalese has to do that. We don't do that.
Right.
We'll let the legalese guys do it. Okay, and the local register of historic sites and structures, local register created resolution, yada. I cannot determine if those two resolutions are still in force. And that's why I highlighted it in yellow. You don't see that. And then I put in red, cannot determine. And number two, this was confusing to me because I looked up chapter 58 and this isn't even addressed there. So
really?
I don't know why it's there. Okay, page 3. Again, I identify the resolutions that were passed in 2017 as not knowing whether they are or aren't. And I believe I explain that under the note. Preservation resources. Again, this is taken from item G of the 2014 ULDC draft. Anytime I highlight something, I have a question as to, does it exist? In the case of this item 1 section or subsection, some item I, it says placement on a local register. We have a local register. I don't know. So these are things that we're going to have to find out in addition to trying to make this thing coherent and usable. Again, I highlighted a certificate of appropriateness. Does the building section of our city government have a certificate of appropriateness? Because if you look at the way the ULDC is written, it's those people that hand out the certificate of appropriateness. We don't do that. See, this gets a whole lot of other people involved. This, going through this whole thing,
I'm looking. Necessarily so.
Yeah, so, okay, and the note at the bottom is we have to verify all of this stuff. We don't know what's going on here. Okay, page 4. Item IB of, incentives for preservation. That is definitely a city commission job. Because we're not going to tell them, oh, you got to give these people incentives if they want to have their property listed as a historic site. That's
but
not our job.
Recommendation from this board.
Yeah, yes, recommendation, absolutely. But we can't tell them that we're going to do that. That is beyond our. Anyway, most of that section criteria for listing on a local register, I just left in place. I didn't make any changes to that other than. Up above. Placement of on the local register. Research shall be replaced on nomination. Now I did change this because it said the property owner or city resident. That kind of was there. But I believe we should be able to make a recommendation. And that wasn't there. So on the bottom of that sheet. Or the procedures for placement on a local register. I believe we should have the ability to say, hey, it should be on the local register because we're going to know about what's historical and what's not. So that's in red, if you can't really tell that. A city resident or ACAP member, if the property is city property. I didn't presume to say we're going to see somebody's house or we're going to see some property that some is privately owned. And say that should be on there. There is a process for talking to the people that own the property and ask them. And I think that's probably in the following write-ups to ask those people, do you want your property on is our local registry of historic sites. That would be something, I'm not sure how we'd handle it, but that would be something we need to address specifically.
Just to elaborate, if they're like in Punta Gorda, they got their historic district. Do we address that in here, an actual like a district for the like the, you know, the section up there on Biscayne? And that, is that a district that could be historical?
Yeah, and that would, right. And when we look at that, if we were going to designate a district, I think there's somewhere in here we could do that. I went through this thing just, but I think there's a way you do that where you designate the, I know the county has designated districts up in Sarasota City, or I know the city does.
Yeah, they get a special, you know, street sign look and everything. Historic district.
And that would be something we'd have to recommend to the city commission to do that sort of thing. This is kind of like the preliminary, we're just getting our feet wet. So, I agree with you that we should be able to do that eventually. And then there's a section on reviewing processes for designating a historic site and removal from the local register. If somebody tears down a historic building on private property, there ain't much we can do about it. So, and if they do it after it's been designated, there is a process for that. On page 6 at the top, the consent of the owner, this is where we would have an application. If someone does, once their property designated, they'd fill out the application. We would review it, forward it to city commission, and they would make the determination. The application, I don't know where it is. It may have to be developed. Although, we did see an application somewhere when I was going through all this stuff. And again, we have to decide, are we going to look at this stuff and say, yeah, this is good stuff? Then we can start looking at the stuff we need to look at. The application, the registry, all of that stuff.
She says.
Right. I found this online. This is the.
I think that's one I have.
Yeah. And it tells you what to do.
Oh, yeah, this,
that's
this
the
is a
consideration
national,
thing, yeah.
Right, this is for the National Historic
Sites. Do we have to, once we're looking at a particular property and stuff, and we decide that we want it to be set aside as something historical for Northport, do we then have to go to the county and make sure that our thing appears on the county stuff as well? Does it not have
I
to
think
move
as a courtesy
the,
we would do that.
Just as a courtesy,
courtesy
it's
I
not,
don't know that
not,
there would be any requirement to do that.
Okay.
Unless we write it into what we're doing here.
Right, okay.
Which would probably be a very nice thing to do. I'd say, I mean, if we determine that the Turpentine Docks should be a historic site, it would be a nice thing to do to say, hey, county, we found this. You guys want it on your list. Okay, much of the rest of this, until you get to the very end, is just minor changes, section changes, that sort of thing, page changes, correction in the title of the Historic and Cultural Advisory Board, until you get to the last page, and that's where I start talking about the marker program. And I guess I did go through the marker program, didn't I? Yeah, everything's in red on the page, on the bottom of page 8 and all of page 9. I pretty much took it from the county's marker program.
We don't have a historical marker application.
Right. And we'll have to probably.
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Is it a city one?
Probably county, right?
County.
Sarasota County.
Yeah.
We'll modify that for our purposes.
And I think we need to decide who's paying for it.
Well, that's a discussion that needs to be presented to City Commission to say who's going to pay for this. Because I guess the county has a budget for markers.
Yes.
The city doesn't have a budget for markers. So you're right.
And this, yeah, and the county has a limited budget for markers.
Right.
And so, you know, if you apply for a marker, then you get put into the queue.
Yes.
With, you know, this year they can do two. And then, I mean, I think we got the budget up to doing three or four. It used to be two. And so those that get done, and then everyone moves up the line.
Yeah.
Unless you show up with cash in hand, then that puts you at the front of the line.
Correct.
This is Sarasota County, and it says Sarasota County funds two new markers each year, but interested persons or entities may sponsor additional markers, and then there's the cost.
What is the cost?
Everything from $3,750 down to $495, depending on how much, if you have a photo, if you don't, if you just have...
I think that $3,700
some different
is
things.
Low figure.
The installation cost is $4.95.
Yeah.
But two new markers each year is two free markers that
right.
we can...
And how many are we going to have if we have markers, if it's acceptable to the city? We're certainly not going to have a lot. I can only count about three or four right now. So in over 2 years, it wouldn't make any difference. You know, we got two. If we get one this year, over the next 4 years, you get all of them. They're done. But the idea is to get the site designated so that it can be protected. I don't know if any of you know that in 2017, the Turpentine Dock area, that whole greenway along the Myakahatchee Creek, was protected, and the police were patrolling it. I don't know how well it's been protected since then, because there was a newspaper article. That's how I found out. There was a newspaper article protecting that. Now, if we designate something historical, that puts it into a whole new ballgame, and the police have to protect that, because now you're talking something designated by the city. So I've got all kinds of articles that I'm going to eventually bring up before the advisory board on historical sites here, all the way up to the environmental park, which, again, I don't know if there's a marker up there. And in reality, there should be, because that's already been surveyed, and they already found Paleo-Indian residue, I'll call it. Artifacts, yeah. Artifacts there, so that should be designated, whether by the county, and obviously the county hasn't done it, but I think it was this, well, whoever's in charge of the environmental part getting it. So, and it's probably an inappropriate time to bring it up, but I've noticed that a lot of the older things in the city have been taken care of by Parks and Recreation. Whereas, in my view, if it's historical, archaeological, they shouldn't be taking care of that. We should be taking care of that. Because we supposedly have the expertise in finding out about archaeological and historical sites. So that's a discussion for later on. And again, I've got write-ups, paper clippings, all kinds of things. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to monopolize that whole thing.
All right. So thank you for that presentation. So so it looks like we have here some draft language. So based upon what's in the current ULDC, with revision from Mr. Sterner. And so, are any thoughts or comments about some of the language suggestions here?
I think you did an excellent job on the language and enumerating the items and eliminating some of the stuff that doesn't need to be in here for our purview. So kudos to you for doing that.
No, I'm not sure what happens next, okay?
That was going to be my question. What do we do
with
this
now? I mean,
what
do we do with this draft? Do we submit it to City Commission?
So I was directed to have you guys draft a policy based on agreement. So as long as everybody agrees on that policy, I'm assuming, Matt, right, they would have to do a motion?
Yep.
To approve the drafts and then or to submit the draft. Okay, yeah, so you guys would do a motion. And then I would put it on the next agenda. Let me see, it would be the draft agenda for adjustments. There's no adjustments. Final draft policy approved for recommendations to the commission. So, yeah, so the next meeting would be to finalize it and nice, you know, so it looks presentable.
Well, so what do we do about...
And I'm sorry, please go ahead.
What do we do about the items that... as identifying where we don't know what that number is going to be for that, like four.
Well, even the numbers.
You've got a question mark on it. What
right. Yeah. Well, those are the section numbers.
And so the section numbers are going to be determined by the center.
That is typically something that will probably be done by the city clerk's office because they oversee the whole code.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I didn't do anything.
Yeah, so we don't need to worry about section numbers or subsection numbers or anything to that effect.
What about the part that you thought we don't know if there's a registry even in existence? Have a registry here on the code, but does a registry actually exist?
Well, I think this is what I was going to bring up. So, I mean, we've got some questions here regarding these resolutions, and I'll be honest, I think it's a little odd that these things are being adopted by resolutions and not part of, not ordinance and making it part of the city code.
This is for the city code.
I understand that. Okay. No, I'm saying that these resolutions that we can't.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That why these were adopted by resolution and not ordinance to have it incorporated in the ULDC is what I question. But that aside, we have questions on, did this take place and is it still relevant? Because especially if this is from 2017 and the ULDC, the new one was adopted.
2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I assume that in the language adopting the new ULDC, it basically kind of said that it supersedes everything else. So, I would say that, if it's not in the current ULDC, then it's not in existence, would be my
The copy of the ULDC is this, okay, which you have the copy of.
Right.
And obviously, what I marked up here is not in the ULDC.
Right.
And a lot of the stuff that's in the ULDC doesn't appear in my markup, and vice versa.
Those questions, you know, who's going to answer those? If they see this document here, and they see the red, the city going to answer those questions or look those up?
I think this is all stuff that needs to be confirmed. I don't know if that is something that the city clerk's office can do, because again, they manage ordinances, resolutions, all actions that are taken by city council, they should have a record of.
Okay, am I going through this whole thing? I explained this before you got here. I found various copies of different municipal code, city code, ULDC. So it's like, which one are we looking at? Are we looking at the ULDC? Are we looking at the city code? Because essentially, this draft is for the city code.
Okay.
OK? okay? Not the ULDC. So,
I believe they want this submitted as a separate policy.
Not part of the ULDC.
Correct.
Okay, so that would be under city code.
Because if you notice in the agenda items, we put discussion possible regarding a formal city policy and ordinance designating sites. So they want a formal policy, which is going to be pretty much what you did, Chris. And then the second item says discussion of possible action regarding revisions of the ULDC.
Well.
So you kind of did both on one document.
Essentially, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to fly?
Well, and again, the clerk's office is going to have to integrate this thing.
So,
and they're going to have to figure it out. If we can't,
is it going to fly? And does she think it's going
to
fly?
I'm thinking at this point, because of the red highlights, that you would send it to me and I could see if I can get some of these questions answered so then you could do the final draft policy. For example, it said about these forms. Do these forms exist?
Right.
I can find that out. So then this is a great first draft, but then on the next draft we can say if there really is that form and put that in there. If not, we have to take it out.
Yeah.
Or maybe say to create.
Change the name of the form or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, how I am interpreting 25-2849, and I know we're not there yet, as in, what are we doing to the ULDC, which is part of the city code, for what is it legally that we can, shall, may, do, however, you know, legally language is used for that. And that 25-2848, where it says policy, this is how we do what's in the ULDC.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I'm interpreting this, and just based upon my own experience.
I hesitate to jump into the ULDC
changes. Right. Like, I hate to have to separate the two, but he's right.
Yeah.
Because the policy is written a certain way.
Yeah.
And the ULDC is written.
Yeah.
ULDC
is legal binding law.
Understand that.
Procedure is how we interpret that law.
Okay.
And that may change depending on how we, you know, kick the tires on this thing and see how it works. But you don't want to have to keep going before the city commission, changing legal code because of a process that's not working. It's got to be about legally what we can, may, shall do.
So I'm wondering if you can reference a city policy, a recent one. In your mind, I'm saying, you know, pull it up online and then kind of format what you did here into that same type of format. I know it's.
You may have already done it.
I either have it or I don't have it. Okay.
That's why I think they wanted the two items separate, because they're a separate issue.
This is where. See, Section 4 came out of the city code. Okay. City code, muni code, Section 4. Mm-hmm. That's what that draft was made up of, the city code. Now, if we're going to start addressing ULDC, we're going to have to go through a whole different thing and say, okay, we have this muni code, let's fit it into the ULDC. That's how I look at it. But yeah, this section 4 is in the muni code.
So we're modifying section 4. That's done right here, right now.
Yes.
But the ULDC is this totally separate document.
Haven't touched it. Well, we have a copy of it. And if you look at the copy that was made, I mean, it goes archaeological historic preservation regulations. And
that's what this is right here.
Yeah, this is, to me, ULDC. That's section 621 through 6210. ULDC is like a high level thing. It's like, they're not going to specifically say you do this, 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 and this. that has to fit in. But I think it's ULDC would be generalizations, whereas the city code would be specific. That's my guess. I'm just guessing on that. But having read all this stuff, it's like.
Do you know if there's a template or anything for a policy that maybe that they can like mirror almost, you know, like I did work for real estate, I did real estate policy, and I had to break stuff down, kind of like he did here, and obviously just take out the section numbers or whatever, but is there anything?
We have the city commission policies.
Yeah.
We should just be able to search that.
One of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have a couple of those, so you could probably find out after that.
I am confused as to why there's this component and this component.
It's just or, getting into what I was having a conundrum over this whole time.
Which is why I am curious to see where
they want one document between the two or two different boxes?
There's two separate items here. So the first one is to create a formal policy.
That's what we've done
so
here.
So that's what you guys pretty much done here. I would just take out, yeah. You know, section whatever.
Right.
And the second one is out of the from this policy, which he marked the changes from the ULDC, where in the ULDAC can we make these changes? There's two separate things here.
You got to remember that ULDC that I referenced there
is the older one.
Was the old one.
Correct.
That was never accepted. So we have to be careful of that too.
This is not the current one?
Yes, that is the current.
This
one.
Is the current.
No, the one that I was looking at.
So yeah, so this one, yeah, it looks like it here's a draft 2014.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. But that's where I was getting the information to develop.
And where did you find this?
This. That online. With that?
Yeah.
Yeah, online.
Okay.
That's the latest one. That's
so,
24.
Yeah, so this is the current ULDC.
Right.
You were working off of a former draft of the ULDC.
I was using information from it.
Okay.
I was not working from it. I was changing the ULDC or proposing to change it because that's why the numbering is different. That's why my numbering for that is section 4 of the Muni Code, whereas ULDC starts in Article 2, Section 6.
Just looking, glancing at it, the ULDC doesn't, it should be fairly simple to see if there's something to add, but I, you know, it reads as a different document.
Exactly.
So
it's what
a
I
different,
said,
different
it's a high
focus.
Level document.
Yeah.
Whereas we're trying to get down to nitty gritty, or how are we going to do our work? Okay, ULDC doesn't tell you how to do the work.
This tells us how.
The policy is going to be the one that's going to lead.
Right.
This, yeah.
And
so
that's why I was trying.
How much modification of this we would need to do?
I'm not sure there's anything we need to do.
Other than maybe referencing that there's a city code or city policy, but I don't even need. So. It seems to be I don't think we need to alter it.
Yeah, I personally couldn't see anything to change in ULDC current.
I mean, it goes into things that don't even we're not even focusing on, you know, with warm middle springs and what have you and that kind of thing. So it's a totally different focus than not totally. I mean, it's still historical, but the focus is
well, just taken care of by someone else.
Yeah,
it's not taken care of by
so
us.
What I would do is
who's taking care of it?
Since
then?
You're discussing 25, 28, 40,
decide
what
you
want to do with that first.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a motion on 25, 28, 48, the draft prepared by Chris, be
adopted for review by staff to answer the questions that are posed in the draft and fill in the blank as necessary where numbers are appropriate.
And then return it back to us for a review.
Return it back to us.
I second it.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion?
So just to be clear, per our city code, the board members are actually allowed to assign work to staff?
That's right.
To what?
We cannot assign work to staff.
So they would have to rewrite it in policy format, correct? Before they hand it to me.
Right. So
but then the questions that they need answered by the clerk, would I be able to find out from Heather, like, is this form of existence?
Well,
yeah, now, I mean, the references to like resolutions and stuff,
yeah.
You just those up on Laserfish, see if they're still active and they're stuff like that.
Yeah, those are the questions we're asking because we don't have access to those. To see if those resolutions exist and if there's a registry.
Well, regardless of whether it's reviewed, but it should just be presented to commission. They're going to look at it. They're going to get somebody to go over it because we can't. I don't have a legal degree. Well, I wish I did.
Well,
somebody has to go over it that knows the process, knows the correct format to put it in. We don't know that stuff.
Well,
okay?
the format part, that is a function of the city clerk's office that has nothing to do with us. That does not need to be in any type of motion from this board. That is just what they do.
Right. Is that correct?
So basically, commission's just looking for a draft policy, and as far as they can refine it themselves in terms of...
Right. And that's exactly what we presented.
Right, so they basically want the meat and potatoes of it, not worried really about the numbers and all that other stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it. So
my motion's still valid?
Yes.
Okay.
Other than saying staff is going to do something.
Well, staff, I mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't need
staff
to
will forward it.
We don't
staff
need to have in there about that staff's going to do all the numbering and things like that. That's just.
We'll just leave it at the city's going to do
so,
what they got to do. Okay, so this draft is good to go.
Yes.
The motion
just need an electric format.
Right.
And then back to us for review.
For review. Yeah, if they, on their comments, whatever their comments
are. And that was going to be a motion to...
So just to confirm, I guess, since we're... So you just wanted to submit the draft policy to commission for review, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so the motion's on the floor, so if there's no discussion...
That was the discussion, so... all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Nay.
Carried.
Motion carries.
Okay. And then I make a motion on 25-28-49, the draft that was... or the product that was presented to us by Chris shall have no action by us at this time and be presented to the city. Is that what we want to do? Or I mean, we're not going to do anything with this.
So I just
wait. We're talking about the ULDC.
Yeah, the ULDC.
Okay.
I was
going
to say if you don't want to do any act, you don't have to make a motion for that.
Well, we have to address the item here, though.
Yeah, but you don't have to take any action on it.
Oh.
No, okay.
No motion.
You could just make a decision.
Yeah,
just not to anything.
Discussion and possible action is what it says for
25-2849. Okay, I withdraw my motion.
So.
Okay. I mean, you can, if you want to say, like, we make no recommendations or something, you can.
Oh, yeah, there you go. We don't make a recommendation to change the ULDC until
so it's official on the docket on our 5 minutes.
Right.
All right, I'll restate my motion. My motion is that regarding item number 25-2849, ULDC, discussion of possible action regarding recommendation and revisions, that this board take no action.
Do we have a second?
I second that motion.
Any discussion? Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Nay. The ayes have it. All right. Are there any future agenda items we wish to discuss?
We may not get anything back by the next meeting. So maybe we want to look at something else to discuss.
What would you like to discuss?
Funny you should ask.
There are three outstanding items that we have discussed about looking at this, recommending for historical preservation, with the Turpentine Dock, Biscayne Plaza, and...
Well, okay.
But I might be jumping the gun there, so...
No, you're actually on track. I can find out what that whole thing is. I'm all thing on this demonstration.
I personally would like to find the very first home ever built by GDC.
Okay, I don't know if any of you guys have seen that. That was in the Local Sun.
No, I don't get the paper.
It was my interview with a reporter.
Did you make copies for me to read?
Oh, you can have copies if you want.
I would like that.
But there are a bunch of things in here, and as I stated earlier, some of the things that are happening in the city with respect to potential historic sites is being handled by Parks and Rec.
Right.
And I take exception to that. Being a historian, I really don't like people playing with playgrounds and pools.
Are they actually going out and designating on their own historic sites?
No, they're not doing anything. It appears, to me, that they have control over some of this stuff. Like maybe the Greenway. They're cleaning that up, making a bike path there. Really? It's got a historic site. Why is Parks and Rec, without consultation to the historic part of it, why are they doing that stuff? That's my point. Okay?
How do we stop that?
We had clear lines of responsibility laid out by City Commission. Okay? It's a historic site, or an archaeological site. In this case, it's really an archaeological site along that creek.
Right.
Who has responsibility for it? And can we work in conjunction with Parks and Rec? See, that's things
but
that
how do we
need
make
to
that
be...
an agenda item for us to see if we can do any action on it?
Well, we could identify things. Because as I said, I have a whole ton of things here.
What we take out?
We got the railroad thing. I've got that in here. I've got the Turpentine Dock. I think I might have. That's that list. That whole area is Mountgatchee Creek, as it looked back in 1923. Don't look that big. The Greenway.
That's a park and recreation. Ask them to consult with this stuff.
So,
yes, great idea. Oh. Add to the policy that all departments within the city, before action on potential sites, consult with the Historic Commission for a possible historic value.
Okay. Drawing on my historical background, we had a gentleman in here who worked for maintenance, I think. And it had to do with cleaning up along the Mackenzie Creek. And I was told flat out, if we do what you say, it's going to hold up the work. Y'all want to protect the history and archaeology of this site? Hold up the work. If you don't, go ahead. I was told directly by that guy in this room. going to hold up our work.
Yeah.
And if you're digging,
and you
if somebody's
digging, you didn't dig your feet in and say, then hold it up.
Well, this is where
we can't.
Policy is not going to do anything. Having it in the ULDC is going to do something.
Well, I don't know. No, well,
policy
city
does
code,
break the law.
The city code is enforceable. Let's face it. If you let your grass grow and it's 2 feet high,
and that
code
be,
enforcement will come and take care of it.
I guess I'm still not clear on why there is, or if there is, a city code.
There is.
Separate from the ULDC.
There is.
I mean, yes, there's going to be certain things having to do with, like, criminal actions and a criminal code that would be different, but
yeah.
Letting your grass grow too high, that should be in the ULDC.
What would be the harm of adding to our policy that the departments, the city departments, before they take action on a piece of property, that they consult with the historical. I know that their claim is going to be holding up work and an unnecessary, that kind of thing. But if it's in the policy and we get it through, then maybe mistakes like the bike path and stuff
right.
like that won't happen unless it happens in a certain fashion.
Right.
At least in a way that preserves the historical significance of that.
I'll tell you how that came up. Because I found out, and this is like one of the first meetings we had, the first time we were organized, we found out that they cleaned up along Mattache Creek and took out the timbers where the turpentine died.
Yeah, they're stored someplace.
Yeah, stored somewhere. And I said, well, how come nobody notified, and we were relatively new, so. Nobody notified us. Well, that would have held up work. That's precisely what happened.
Okay, well, so
I agree,
but can we just not see if we can put it into the code and see if it'll fly through? And then, what happens after that, happens after that. But at least it's in the code,
agree.
And if somebody, we might win there.
Right. And it might be in that draft. I don't remember everything that changed or everything I read.
I didn't see anything that all city departments. I just want.
Well, no, you're right. Doesn't say anything about that. But case in point, if somebody, and regardless who it is, it could be a private contractor, could be anybody, starts digging and finds bones, they're going to stop work. If they don't, they get in trouble, big trouble with the federal government, because. Are they Native American bones? Are they contemporary bones? What are they?
No.
Okay, then you get in real trouble.
Yeah.
But in the case of artifacts, okay, like Indian arrowheads or spearheads along the creek up there, guy was picking them up, just walking out of there with a bag full of them. Nobody was protecting it.
Yeah.
Now, that one article, which I have, is the one I told you about in 2017 that the police were actually monitoring because they realized that people were taking
swings. So is there a way that you can find a draft of language that we could add as a section in here to that city departments would notify?
So
Matt has an idea.
Okay.
If I could just interject real quick. So I think this would probably fall under the board's powers and duties. In the city code rather than the historical designation policy. So if you want to add to a future agenda item, review a discussion of your powers and duties, and then you can make recommendations to the commission to add or subtract powers, modify them, then you could add that in there.
You're right, and
perfect.
To just go on what you said, if this draft is adopted, that's gonna have to happen anyway. Yeah, I agree. Because they're going to have to make changes to the city code, regardless, or to ULDC, wherever they decide it's going to go. See, that's where I'm confusing.
So
I'm along with you. Is it go to the city code or is it go to the ULDC? And again, I look at the ULDC as this high-level thing, and what they're going to do is all these little things at the bottom. We don't have to add that in here. That's
correct.
Taking care of that here. Big thing is taking care of here. And part of that is, I think, especially with archaeological sites, you find bones, you better report it. Because if you don't, federal government come try to get away.
So you can put that on for future item.
Yeah. Okay. Great idea. Thank you.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
So you get a call on a Sunday afternoon that they've discovered some bones out on something or other, and there's this 20-ton ditch digger that's waiting to go into action on Monday morning at 7 a.m. Okay, so then don't we need to know what our course of action is? Shouldn't that be?
That's highly.
I mean, other than the stop.
Well,
sign.
No, when it comes to bones, that comes under federal government.
Okay, all right.
It will go to the state, but then eventually the federal government will take care
enough.
Of that.
Let's change the bones to something else.
Yeah, no, if it was like, they found, say, the remains of a village, a fire pit, okay?
Right.
They could carbon date it back to, I don't know, 12,000 years ago. That should be protected. And nobody should.
That would probably go under the powers and duties then, that Matt's talking about.
Exactly.
Right. I'm just concerned about the order of
right.
play there, you know, order of operations when
what?
Something
no.
happens.
And again,
I don't need officers like that.
Right. We need to be notified so that we can make a recommendation to the city. What are you going to do? You know, is it going to stop work? Yeah. Do you want to preserve any history here? Because if you don't, do away with this board because we're not doing anything.
I withdraw my other motion about it, so it's withdrawn, and we just add
discuss.
That to a future agenda item for next month. And
okay.
About powers and duties, and specifically departments notifying this commission. Hopefully you got some.
I have an extra page 268 if anybody's missing something.
Oh, yeah. I have an extra one here. 266. I don't know if somebody's missing it, but.
Okay, I'm missing a 266 and
I'm
a 268.
There, so pass the. Oh, I only got one left, so I don't know what happened.
Wait, I have this.
You have that if you want to hand that to
266. I should have put my glasses on.
Oh wait, no, I do have 266, I'm sorry. 268.
Well,
all right.
That's a good future agenda item.
Okay, so.
What else are we going to do? Anything else?
Any other topics for the next agenda? I mean, we may have some feedback already to respond to.
I think that's going to be big enough once we get this back and we have enough workforce today.
All right, so we have any public comment?
No, Mr. Chair.
All right, then we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.